Welcome to the podcast service of the Massachusetts Climate Action Network. Visit us online at massclimateaction.net or friend us on Facebook.
Hi, and welcome to this edition of A Climate Hawk's Companion, a podcast that gives thoughtful people some information and background to help them better understand the big issues of global warming. Today we're joined by our frequent guest, Mr. D.R. Tucker. How are you doing, D.R.?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Great. And we are particularly pleased to be joined by the two co-leaders of a new group in the Boston area called Elder Climate Action. Those two are Grady McGonigal. How are you doing, Grady?
Just fine. Happy to be here. Thanks.
And Judy Weiss. How are you doing, Judy?
I'm good, Ted. Thanks.
Great, great. So anyway, Elders Climate Action is part of a national group, and as the name implies, it has maybe not as limited to a particular demographic that is focused on climate change. And I guess I wanted to ask, we'll begin with you, Grady, as one of the co-leaders. How did you end up in an organization like Elders Climate Action?
Yeah, well, I'd love to tell the story because I'm hoping that others will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call last August from a guy named Paul Severance, who was the initiator of Elders Climate Action. He invited me to, based on the recommendation of a mutual friend who knew about my interest in climate change, he invited me to an event in Washington, Washington, D.C., last September, called Grandparents Climate Action Day. Well, you know, who knew there was a Grandparents Day? There is in September. And Paul and others had the idea of commemorating it with a lobby day in Congress, meeting with as many representatives, congressional folks, or their staffs as we could muster, patterning ourselves after the lobby day annually of the Citizens Climate Lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I know Judy. That's how I know DR.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years I've been going down in June for a lobby day.
Mm-hmm.
I think has proved to be a very effective way of bringing climate change to the attention of or reminding people of the concern on the part of the citizenry for a particular initiative,
mm-hmm,
which should, mm-hmm, I'll actually leave it to Judy to say more about what the priorities of Citizens Climate Lobby, but Grandparents Climate Action Day was spawned with that paradigm in mind. And I'm a kind of a deliberative person. I usually will sleep on something before making a decision. But I found myself in that call saying, yes, sign me up. And I think it's because it spoke to me, this notion of elderhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say more about why. But perhaps before I go there, Judy, let me just invite you, if you will, to say something about Citizens Climate Lobby, because it was your leadership of that group that led me to get to know you and then invite you to come with me, as you chose to do, for this Grandparents Climate Action Day.
Well, the Boston chapter of Citizens Climate Lobby was formed about 5.5 years ago, and I've been a member since its formation. And we just have one objective, and that is to create the political will for Congress to pass legislation that will stabilize the climate. And our preferred policy on that would be a carbon tax, because carbon pricing is an optimal way to control emissions. And we think that the revenue should be return to the public, mm-hmm, via dividends. But the main goal is to have Congress act on climate. So that's what we do. We engage with the media and the public and Congress to create political will. And it's a hard job. And we've been doing it for 5 years, and you've been doing this for a long time, and you know how tiring it can be to see very little progress and not have a lot to do vis-a-vis our own congressional delegation.
Right.
And so when DR, I mean, when Grady asked me if I would go to this grandparent day, I was a little ambivalent because I didn't want to go for another lobby day to Washington to what? Lobby Senator Warren? She doesn't need to hear from me again. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a delight because I got to meet her face to face. Usually I only met her aide. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice treat. But I find it's a great way to do outreach with a sister organization that's also going to be tackling congressional legislation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And do outreach in a way that we have not been as successful in CCL Boston. And maybe when Grady explains the type of outreach ECA does, you'll see how it dovetails really nicely with what CCL typically does.
Well, I guess the question I have to either or both of you is, what is this special cachet or the distinctive flavor of a group, in particular like Elder Care, Elder Climate Action? I mean, you could have New Parents Climate Action, you could have high school climate, you could have lots of people, groups. I mean, why is the Elder Climate Action idea a particularly potent one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's a great question. In fact, there are groups, like the one that comes first to mind is Mothers Out Front, mm-hmm. which defines themselves by role, and I think that's an organization that's gone from 0 to 60, last several years. Right. It's going great guns. Well, what spoke to me, Ted, was the notion of reframing old age as elderhood in the tradition of nature based cultures. On many continents, where getting old was not seen so much as wearing out, or going beyond the point of usefulness,
but rather getting wiser.
Yeah, I mean, we all get older, but the notion that some of us, at least, and perhaps many of us, have gotten wiser, and that wisdom can be tapped into, and so the. What spoke to me was both it tapped something in me personally, and I liked the idea of being able to reach out and potentially tap into that same thing in others.
Do you think that it connects, that sort of elder wisdom resonates with people in Congress, or do you how do you use that? In Judy, I'm going to ask you a similar question about. Because I think you mentioned before you have a new granddaughter. I'm sure that's a whole other axis. But I mean, the whole idea of the elder as a valuable and useful guide, right? You go in and you talk to some senator, right? They're by definition, right? What's the Roman word for senate? Is senile or something? Right? It's they're older people. Does you resonate at that level, or does a senator say, "Oh, I'm as smart as you are. I'm the same age."
Well, let me just tell you an anecdote. When Judy and I were standing across from Elizabeth Warren, mm-hmm. She knew we were there because of Grandparents Climate Action Day. She began talking about her grandchildren, and she had tears in her eyes as she did so. So there was something about being able to appeal to that part of others. I mean, even if they don't have grandchildren, most of them have children, and I think everyone can relate to the notion of leaving behind a planet that's livable for succeeding generations.
I guess that's a great segue to Judy. So, Judy, tell me your story in the same vein. I mean, do you come at it with the same sort of framework as Grady?
Yes, but I would add a couple more things. One is members of Congress know that elders, and that doesn't mean that doesn't necessarily have to be the most elderly people in our society, but anybody over the age of 50 has a better voting record than younger people. Mm-hmm. Elders are just known to politicians to vote more. That's why I imagine that certain people set up an organization, 60-plus association, to target older population with climate denial information, because they know those people are going to vote, and they want them to vote anti-climate. And so and another thing that appealed to me was that this idea that when you hear something from a peer or a trusted person, you're more likely to weigh it seriously and right. consider it longer. And when an elder goes to speak to an elder, maybe that might resonate more. So those things were all kind of popping around in my head as last year, the media started to talk a lot more about Obama's legacy. Mm-hmm. And I've just had my second grandchild born last week, and as frustrating as I find climate change work to be, and I would rather be doing something else with my free time, I keep thinking about that legacy as far as my grandchildren.
Absolutely. No, I completely on board with that. I guess, though, Judy, to your point, and I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the programs that Elder Climate Action is doing, and then we want to talk to about the CCL connection. But the if you present yourself to a senator as a wise senior person, that's great. There's one guy. Is Elder Climate Action sort of mobilizing? I mean, there's so many every town has a senior center, right, where everybody visits. And you just made reference to some denier group trying to get in to educate those people. Do you guys yet have a program, or do you see that as a fertile ground to sort of generate actual votes? Grady, I'll ask you. Let me point that one to you.
Sure. Yeah, well, next month I'm slated to speak to the Brookline Senior Center. Uh-huh. And that'll be the first of what we imagine to be a series of presentations to senior centers throughout Massachusetts. And we see that as one way to build awareness about what we're doing and potentially recruit others to get engaged. Uh-huh. We're also making presentations to retirement communities and have already signed up some people in one of those communities. We imagine, I think, different levels of engagement, where there may be people who are not mobile but could write a letter or mm-hmm. sign a petition. Others who are more mobile and very active and able to show up for meetings and perhaps might even do what I've done, which is risk arrest at demonstrations, for example, against the West Roxbury pipeline.
That's right.
In fact, before we leave entirely the topic of how we define elders, one of our members is 29 years old. He's a graduate student at Brandeis, a guy named Phil White, whom I met when risking arrest at a Keystone Pipeline XL protest in 2014. And I learned he'd started giving presentations under the banner "Calling All Elders," saying essentially, you know, our generation, the millennials, needs the help of your generation regarding the climates you're about to leave behind.
Interesting.
But in a way, an elder is a person. I think most of our membership is demographically elder. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking a broader definition is more a matter of mindset. It's a person who's reached a stage in their life at which their actions are guided less by their own self-interest than by a concern for the community as a whole, including future generations. So this notion of a legacy and a planet that's livable. For humans and for as many life forms as we can rescue, you know, from what Elizabeth Colbert called the sixth great extinction.
Yep.
And that, by the way, I don't know whether others elders have this experience, but what recruited me to the environmental activism was an experience I had in the early 90s when I was reading about the demise of the Texas horned toad. I grew up in Austin, Texas, playing with little horny toads, as we call them. Mm-hmm. You know, we would torment them by putting them in shoeboxes and whatnot and let them go after a while. They were famously resilient. their stories about how they, one of them lived, probably mythology, but lived for 100 years in a cornerstone of a Texas state house. And then when the building was torn down, it was still alive for 100 years. But here they were disappearing, presumably because of human activity. Uh-huh. And I'm not a person who wears his heart on his sleeve, but I started sobbing when I right. when I read about that, and I thought, you know, I've just got to do something about that. And I think other people of our generation, you know, I graduated from college in 1967. That was before the first Earth Day, mm-hmm. but this is about the time that the images of the Earth started coming back from. From our first pioneers in space, and things like the Whole Earth Catalog, just this notion, you know, spaceship Earth. That notion. So, I think there are many people who are transitioning now into retirement, or already there, who want to do something. They're probably concerned, but maybe feeling overwhelmed about what one person can do about something like climate change. Yeah. Yeah. And so we do vote in greater numbers, and I sense that in addition to going south to play golf, or instead of, many of us are going to be called to some kind of service.
Wonderful sort of idea, concept. I guess one of the things I'd like to do is to talk a little bit as well, in addition to the elder climate action, is to explore the connection between elder climate action. Do you call it, go by ECA, or do you, anyway, elder climate action and the CCL fine. Group. I know there's sort of a background connection, because DR, you're still there. You're still with mm-hmm. us, but you're an important actor in the Citizen Climate Lobby. Judy is, Grady is. Here's a jump ball. Who wants to explain what CCL is doing and how it connects to the ECA?
I'll let Judy take that on.
So I sort of gave you the bullet points about what CCL does about creating political will and carbon fee and dividend. And last summer, as co-leader of the Boston chapter, I was mulling over how can we do better at bringing in new members, because we have a really good active core group. And yet, many members, people join in the Boston area and they're here for a couple of years and then they move on to some, you know, the next stage of their career somewhere else in the country, and we have a very hard time keeping people. And Grady asked me if I would go to this grandparent lobby day thing in Washington, and sure, I like going to Washington, I went. And then he asked me if I would help him found the first chapter of ECA here in Boston, and I thought, you know, I haven't been able to do anything as far as bringing in new people to Boston CCL on a long-term basis. And mm-hmm. I sort of understand it's because it's a transient town. But it's not just that. It's we need people who can speak to their peers mm-hmm. about climate and then bring them in, and they can work on CCL's carbon fee and dividend project, mm-hmm. or they can work on other things via Elders Climate Action that speak to them within Elders Climate Action, maybe, and get a little bit more gratification than we're able to get in CCL all the time. We can work in tandem, and mm-hmm. it just felt to me like this would be a very good partnership for Citizens
so
Climate.
Can you describe? So I know you actually brought? Well, you've had the Grandparents' Day. I mean, are there other programs here within the state? I mean, do you do any state lobbying? Certainly, there's a wide spectrum of, shall we say, political viewpoints within the in the State House, right?
Ted, you know, I'm laughing at your question because we only had our first meeting in December, and we've had so many projects in the 3 months since our first meeting. You won't believe the list that Grady goes through right now.
Let me just say, Ted, when I went down for Grandparents Climate Action Day, I stayed on for a day of strategic planning mm-hmm. on the part of Elders Climate Action, and I decided to get engaged at the national level. But was attracted to the notion of a state chapter because The notion of carbon tax at this national level is definitely a long-term game. I think we will get there eventually, but we're not, you know, we're not going to do it without major changes in Congress. It's very attractive to think about what can be done at the state level. And so, you know, there's now for the second year, there's been carbon tax legislation introduced. It's not going to go through this year, but it got further than it did last year. Mm-hmm. And I think we may get a carbon tax in Massachusetts before we do at the national level. In fact, maybe, as was the case with healthcare, maybe that's the way to get to something at the national level. So Elders Climate Action has these national goals like carbon fee and dividend, and we added to that supporting the implementation of the president's clean power plan. Mm-hmm. But we're free within the scope of the mission to address more local opportunities. And so just as we're forming, and as listeners to this series of podcasts will know if they heard DR and Carol Oldham speak about the solar policy a few months ago, Carol Oldham spoke at that time about legislation to be written called an energy omnibus bill. Well, that legislation is now being written, literally as we speak, in the House, under the tight control of the House Speaker, DeLeo. And so that presented itself as a target of opportunity. So just as we were looking for something to mobilize around, and have I think there's room for anybody to do their own thing in subgroups or individually, and we do have people hosting climate change conversations. We've got a sub-team, reaching out to speak to senior centers and retirement communities. But we're looking for a chapter-wide focus locally. And just the obvious thing was to try to influence that legislation.
Yep.
So we've been meeting with our legislators and both conveying our views but also asking their advice on how to influence the writing of this legislation. Uh-huh. And we're poised, as soon as the legislation comes out, to try to, lobby to make it as strong as possible, and also to keep out to treat as kind of a poison pill anything that would resemble a subsidy of natural gas pipelines, which is something that governors to want, and the utilities would like us all to want.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, just we're doing a lot of things, writing letters, meeting, making phone calls directed towards the legislature at this time. And then that will last for a while, and then we'll move on to something else chapter-wide. But that's keeping us busy for the time being.
That's super. Well, so we sort of got to hit, we got to end up. But tell me, Grady, what's the website? I'm going to say in a moment that people can find the links to what we talked about on the website, but tell me, what's the name of the website if somebody wanted to go and sign up with you folks?
Yeah, it's quite literally eldersclimateaction.org.
Elders with an S, climate action, all one word, .org. Eldersclimateaction.org. Super. Okay. So let me then say what I just said I was going to say. To all of our listeners, you can probably check out the links to most of what we talked about here at the MCAN blog, this massclimateaction.org. .net/blog. That's where this podcast will be in the links. You can catch up with this podcast on Facebook. It's / Mass Climate Action on the Facebook page. If you go there, please share the link with your friends so that everyone can learn about the show. You can listen to this show on your smartphone using Stitcher or TuneIn Radio. And of course, you can find the show on iTunes. You simply search for Mass Climate Action under the podcast heading. So there you go. So we will close the way we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, and because we believe it is our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States put a price on carbon. So thank you very much, Grady, for being here.
Ted, appreciate the invitation.
And Judy, thank you for taking the time from your beautiful grandchild to come talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
And DR, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks.
And to everyone who's listened, it was great to have you along. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you again soon. And bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Climate Hawks Companion.